Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Okay.
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, iHeart, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Don't forget to go to Google Play and download Bashani Radio app. We're live from New York City talking about in and everything. I also want to take this opportunity to thank all my listeners for listening to my broadcast each and every week. We're dropping these nuggets to help you live your best life. This show is sponsored by Rashad Reliable Cars, Terry Ingram Sr., CEO and owner, Too Blessed to Be Stressed. My listeners, I have one of the greatest guests on this planet. I am so excited to be associated with her. We've been knowing each other for a few years now, and I mean, she is doing her thing. She is a mental health consultant and creative systemic therapist. She is a master facilitator and a current PhD scholar. Janelle uses social metrics and experiential activities to engage her audience to create movement and change within their particular social spaces. She is committed to facilitating training and webinars and mental health and optimal performance for redefining corporate spaces, businesses, and family. Janelle has worked as a leading therapist and facilitator for 12 years at the SAF Incorporated and Therapeutic Alliance Wellness. Okay, Dr. Janelle.
Hello. Hi, Miss Linda. Thank you so much.
It is such a pleasure and honor to have you on my show today. So, Janelle, I usually ask my guests one question, and that is, what has been the lowest point in your life, and how has it facilitated you to where you are today?
So, the lowest part of my life, I would say, was when I was about 27 years old. I was married for about 3.5 years. And I had just had a baby, so I was like 4 weeks into enjoying a newborn with my husband. And at week 4, my husband actually became non-responsive from an asthma attack. And when my son was 6 weeks old, my husband passed away.
Oh, no.
So I would say that was my lowest. If I had to quantify something, I would say that would be my transformation or my change in experience in life. And I realized that life really is short and we really have to do what we need to do in order to survive, live, and thrive and optimize who we are as human beings.
Yeah, I know when we were in Dr. Harris's group, you talked about grief a lot. So can you kind of go into that for my listeners, because I mean, with this COVID girl, a lot of people are grieving right now and don't really know how to cope with that.
So for me, and since that was the experience to transform my life, I am now a certified grief recovery specialist, along with the other things that I do. And one of the reasons why I chose to be a certified grief recovery specialist is that I believe there's everything in our life. If we learn how to manage losses well, we would be able to live a more fulfilled life. We all lose things, whether it's a tooth, whether it's a parent, whether it's a husband, I always used to tell people this. But I'm like, oh my gosh, you lost your husband. I said, well, you know, you just happen to know me, but there are people every day that lose somebody that other people actually don't care anything about. So the key component of the work that I do from grief perspective is that we're all ill-prepared to deal with the losses in our life. And grief is a normal and natural reaction to anything that we lose. And when we can start having greater conversations about the fact that we're all losing something, and that we require connection and we require completion of the relationship, and we require recovery, I think then we all could get a better handle on grief and understanding that it is an expression of the things that we love, or it is an expression of the things that we've never received.
Okay, that is so awesome. And how do you feel that most people, they just don't deal with grief, and they think, you know, counseling is a bad thing? So what would you suggest to my listeners if they've lost a loved one or a relationship? What is the best way to handle that grief?
I think first is to begin having a conversation about what does this death, this loss really mean to me. And when I say that, I remember the other day my mother was telling me that her great aunt was dead. And I was like, okay, mom. And I was like, and I literally was like, so what does that mean? Because I've never heard her speak about her great aunt, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen the great aunt, and the great aunt lives in the island that I live in, Barbados. And I said to her, I said, what meaning have you assigned to this? Because often when we lose things, we assign the meaning that people tell us we ought to assign. We don't assign the meaning to the relationship of what the loss is. So I always tell people to start there, right? If you resign your job, you get fired from your job. Perhaps it may be time to go. Maybe that was your stepping out. You know, maybe that was a thing to catapult you. Now, depending on who taught you to see opportunities or who taught you to deal with some losses will determine how well you go through it. So I honestly believe that grief is also a skill set mechanism. And I'm not saying that people aren't to feel their losses, but the first thing they have to do is recognize how much this loss means to them. Yeah, I think that's always a starting place. And when you, after recognizing, it is what skills do I have to negotiate and navigate this particular loss? Now, for me, I was already a therapist when I lost my husband. And I was already working in a therapeutic environment. So I didn't need to go and seek any grief recovery, any grief counseling, any bereavement, anything like that. One, because I had the most awesome funeral director who was forward thinking. She was years ahead of her time in that field. I was able to plan my husband's funeral. He loved golf. We were able to host the funeral ceremony on the golf course that he used to play at. He was buried in his wedding suit with his golf club. The guys gave a guard of honor. I mean, so ultimately I was able to create a space where I would feel comfortable with how I would release and complete that relationship with him. You know, and we're often not given those choices. We're often given choices that other people believe are going to be the best choice, or this is how you're going to make it through, rather than putting into context the things that are actually going to be beneficial for us to deal with the loss afterwards. And because I was also working in a therapeutic community, I could talk about my loss. I'm sure a lot of your listeners probably don't talk about the losses that they endured. The conversations often sound like, you know, oh my gosh, I can't deal with another one, and I can't, so much loss. And that's not talking, that's lamenting about it. But to talk is to call you at 3 o'clock and say to you, Miss Linda, I miss him. I wish he was here. You know, I can see him, I can smell him, you know, and be okay with that conversation. And you just hold a sacred space in my conversation. A lot of people don't have that. And so they almost have to become Academy Award winners in their grief and pretend that everything's okay and the body doesn't like that. And from the time you have to pretend that you're not experiencing something, then we get into challenges with people's mental health and their well-being and their overall mental state and their brain health.
Well, you know, I really don't do news, but I notice when I'm scrolling through Facebook or something, it's a lot of people committing suicide, and it's a lot of people killing children, JC. I'm like, how? How can you take these precious gifts that God have given you and just do these horrible things to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just totally blowing my mind. But we know.
It's a lot.
Yeah. We know who's the controller of this world, but God is still mm-hmm. in control. But it is just mm-hmm. getting so worse than I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Yeah. If I could jump on here, I think, especially when we had the conversation with suicide, that happens to be one of the topics that, and I don't like to say that I enjoy talking about, but let me put it that way. I do enjoy talking about because it gives people a new perspective. And I want to offer your listeners a different perspective. And when we talk about mental health and people lead into suicide and suicide ideation, often we don't link mental health with brain health. And anybody who's thinking about or has committed suicide are not in their right thinking mind. There's something going on in the brain. And the brain, when you talk about suicide or suicide ideation, represents the hardware. So you think about a computer. Mm-hmm. A computer is hardware. And our experiences in life, our emotions, our feelings, our relationships are software. A lot of us have hardware challenges. And the more we're exposed to technology in terms of screens, the amount of screen time we're having, the type of things that are being filtered in our screens, our hardware is going to become more susceptible to faulty programming, basically. We're not moving as much. And so therefore, you're not getting adequate blood flow, and blood flow allows your brain to function 10 times better. You're also not eating properly, so we're not eating for nutrients. We don't have enough vitamins and minerals in our bodies. And so, again, the brain, the hardware of our bodies are severely malnourished. And when you have something that's malfunctioning and malnourished, it cannot make effective decisions. And then we have a society that condones the language that perpetuates people's sadness. So there isn't a time where people can now express their sadness or their disappointment or their frustration. They go straight to feeling depressed. Well, even though they may be symptomology of being depressed, if I'm 4 and I'm 5 and I'm never taught the word sadness, of course I'm going to think that I'm depressed. And then when I continue to watch media that purports depression in the language, then I think I have a larger problem. So over a period of time, whether it's 5 to 6 years, you literally don't now become the words that you speak. And so that's why it's getting very pervasive, because it's in every area of our life. But we literally hold the key to change if we eat better, move better, have better conversations, you know. We can reverse, but once we also enter the language of suicide and suicide ideation into people's world, they also believe that that's the outlet. And so we're conditioning minds to do this. It's another form of mind control.
Oh, wow. I didn't look at it that way, but you're right. Yeah. Now that I hear it in that way.
Yeah. It's a hardware and a software problem. Let's fix the hardware and provide proper software programming for people. And that's ultimately what's happening. So people are going to make that decision, but they're not the ones making the decisions, if that makes sense. You know, it's like all the rhetoric that they've received. And there's a lot of research where now people, instead of, if you want to take care of your mental health, start taking care of your brain health. Start asking people to do brain specs on you, brain imaging. And as weird as that sounds, what a lot of people do not understand in the psychology and the psychiatric world, this is the only field where people guess about what's wrong with another human being who believes that they're not thinking right. And they take those people's words as gospel truth and attach them to clusters of symptomologies and then say you have this. But there's a lot of research showing that a lot of what people are being labeled, that's not what's happening in the brain. And so then you're prescribing medication that's not collectively helping that particular part of the brain and creating different side effects. So trauma, things like when people hit their heads in accidents, impacts your brain health, impacts your mood. If it destabilizes your mood, you're just more susceptible to aggressive behavior or low affect or suicidal ideation, and the list could go on. So we really need to step away from, you know, the labeling a little bit and provide people with stronger options for getting, for seeking optimization in their health. Forget getting rid of getting better from psychiatric illnesses. Are you healthy just together, you know, period? Are you healthy? You know, are you mindful of things that are going to impact you as you age, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Most of us aren't, because most of us haven't been taught to be human.
Exactly, exactly. That's a good point there. That's a nugget, my listeners. We have not been taught to be human.
Especially in the Black community, because you were 3/5. So when it ended, did they teach you how to be 5/5?
That is so true.
Or did you take the same skills that you were given, try to magnify those skills to compete in a world that you can't compete in because you never saw yourself as whole?
Right. It is truly amazing how that mind really works, because there's a lot of depressed people on this earth that they don't mm-hmm. even know they're depressed. So how can one associate or just learn to know something is just not right in my brain cells? Why am I feeling this way? Why are these things coming into my life this way? I mean, what is the step that they can do to come into the realization that, you know, I may have a mental illness?
Well, I take it even a step further, and I said, check with your physical health first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing the things that will ultimately protect your brain? Are you doing the things? So everything that you do, the one of the renowned psychiatrists in the world, Dr. Daniel Amen, talks about, you know, asking this question, is this hurting or helping my brain? And I think if people start there, and even if they don't know if it's hurting or helping their brain, they have to think and stop for a second and ask, okay, does drinking alcohol help my brain or does it hurt my brain? I think most people could come up with the correct answer, right?
Right.
Does being sedentary hurt or help my brain? Most people could come up with an answer. Whether they know anything about their brain, are toxic relationships hurting or helping my brain? Most people will come up with, they're hurting. And then once you get an awareness of that, then do I have the skills? Because mental health is a set of skills and awareness. Do you have the skills to recognize that something is happening? And 9 out of 10 of them, most of us don't have the skills. But do we have the resources? Meaning, is there information that's available to us? Is there, are there people that can assist us in helping us with the knowledge? And I would tell people, yes, there is. But if you're not aware that this is required for a part of your existence of your optimizing human performance, you're not going to tap into it. Right now, in the world, you can jump on so many different psychological first aid programs, psychological and social mental well-being programs. They cost little, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they cost a lot. But if you are not aware, you're not going to see it as a resource. I know Taraji P. Henson has her Boris Henson Foundation, where she offers free therapy to the Black community.
Wow. Right?
So there's so many different spaces that they're out there. But again, if you're tuned into a frequency that in a whole concept of destruction and a whole concept of, you know, this is the type of thing you need to be doing in terms of materialistic stuff. And I tell people all the time, like the hair, the nails, you know, the eyelashes, we've gone from internal beauty to external beauty, mm-hmm. and we're still not getting it.
Right.
You know, we're still having problems. And my thing is, if you're going to do the patchwork, at least let the insides look like the outside. And we haven't, you know, because we're then sold on what beauty looks like. And that's going back to the tree fist conversation, right? So I do things to look similar. So, you know, it's large, it's sticky, it's messy. When we really think about how do we help people change their mental mindset, but it's necessary for us to have these conversations, you know.
It is, because I know when I decided that I wanted to become attorney, or I thought I wanted to become an attorney, that's what started me in my journey with my psychology, mm-hmm. because being sheltered, it was just mind-boggling to come into mm-hmm. this world knowing, you know, you have these sociopaths and psychopaths
yeah.
living mm-hmm. in this world. So it was mm-hmm. very strange to know. And then, you know, I started drawing these type people in towards me, and it was like mind-boggling that these people were even
yeah.
to think somebody is on this earth that doesn't have a conscious, JC. It was like, no way. How yeah. in the world can that happen, that they don't have a conscious?
Mm-hmm.
And our prison system is full of them. It's unbelievable. But, you know, that geared me towards that. And I'm glad I went that direction, because it gave me the opportunity to not go into that field.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think people should observe situations before they jump into a field and then make the correct decision, because it may not be for them.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, JC, I know you're busy, and I really, really do appreciate you, doctor. Congratulations on that PhD. I am so proud of you,
man.
Thank
you so much.
It was so awesome to see that.
Thank you so much.
So just give my listeners about three nuggets, drop three more nuggets to help them improve their mental health.
Your mental health is your brain health. That will always be my number one nugget. Two, surround yourself with people who are looking to live more purposefully and live more meaningful in their day-to-day experiences. Cannot say that enough. You have to seek them out, though. You have to take yourself off of the pedestal and judging who you think people are, and spending time and getting to know who they are. And three, have fun, play, be creative. Our minds become slaves to these things on a consistent basis when we refuse to play or be creative. So a lot of people don't recognize that play is one of the things that will eventually release a lot of feel-good hormones. And so if you play and you have a lot of fun on a day-to-day basis, or you set yourself up for moments of essential play, you can actually create a healthier mind, and by extension, a healthier mental health.
Oh my God, listeners, I hope you take those nuggets and run with it. Also, JC, tell my listeners how to get in contact with you.
Awesome. So they can reach me at jcmayers, JayceeMayers, and that's jcmayers.com, jcmayers Facebook, jcmayers Instagram.
Okay, there you have it, my listeners. I mean, she's an awesome, awesome person, and she's definitely one that you need to connect with, because she is so, so creative. Check her Facebook page out. She's doing and living on purpose. Broadcasting
yes,
from Frashani Radio, iHeart Life from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Again, don't forget to go to Google Play and download Frashani Radio app. We're live from New York City talking about in and everything. Again, I want to thank my listeners for listening to my broadcast, because like I said, Dr. JC dropped them nuggets this morning on you, so you need to take them and run with it. This show is sponsored by Rashad's Reliable Cars, Terry Ingram, Senior CEO and Owner. too blessed to be stressed. And that's another nugget you need to drop and run with it as well. Again, Dr. JC, I do want to thank you for taking out time on your busy schedule to do this interview with me. And I can tell you right now, and everybody listen, she's one of my lifetime friends, okay?
Thank you. Yes, I so appreciate it, Miss Linda, and everything that you do and who you help. And every time I'm like, oh, Miss Linda is on that cover, you know, what you do for the prison system. Thank you so much for being on purpose as well.
You're welcome. Okay, listeners, join in the Linda Monroe Show this time next week. All is well. God loves you, and so do I. And be blessed. Thank you, Dr. JC. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stat, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.